I need to change my name.
Change your name. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Over Sharon Show. I don't know if we caught that part that's going to make that make sense, but if we didn't, you could just wonder about it. Anyway, we have a guest this week again, and I'm very excited. It's a returning guest. But before we get into that, I'm going to read a quote, and then I think we're all going to pull a card. I think that's what we decided. So I'm pretty excited about that. And today's quote is... Energy, like you, has no beginning and no end. It can never be destroyed. It is only ever shifting states. And that's by Panache Desai.
At least that's how we think.
I think that's how you say his name. Yeah. It's by Samir Patel.
What are you doing?
What?
We should ask Cody if that's his uncle.
We should. I think they're all related, isn't that right? Yeah, all the Indians. We're already getting it canceled for hate speech. Anyway, what's up, Sharon?
I'm just being silly. And shuffling my Thoth deck. How dare me? How dare me pull a Aleister Crowley card?
It's already evil. Now we're definitely canceled twice. I just want to say one thing. For all our viewers, I'm not saying that I support Aleister Crowley or I love him or I hate him. I just want to tell you that from what I understand, he was anti-Zionist. So that might tell you everything you need to know as far as his demonization, because if somebody's against that giant propaganda machine, you know, they're going to say a lot of bad things about you. Anyway.
Could it be?
Yeah. Well, did you pull one?
No, but I'm about to. The Chariot. Did we just get this card? I feel like we got this. Or maybe it was me. I pulled this card the other day for myself, maybe.
You know, it's funny. I was looking on Instagram today and this account that I follow was showing that exact card and around the top arch above his head. If you look very carefully, there's letters and it says abracadabra above him.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm looking. Abracadabra.
Don't say it.
But it's hard to see because it has little sine waves. So they'll have an A and then a sine wave and then a B and then another one. So it's hard to see it. And plus this is not focusing fantastically well, so
whoa, that's all right.
Yeah,
I'd suggest looking it up for yourself. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you should anyone can probably look up the Chariot from the Aleister Crowley Thoth deck, Thoth, and look it up online and zoom in on the top.
And Thoth is just another name for Hermes Trismegistus, which is
Trismegistus.
Trismegistus, thrice great, which is another name for Mercury, the messenger of the gods, and perhaps Enoch.
And some people say, this is weird, but some people say that Saint Germain, the original, was allegedly... Hermes Trismegistus or something like that, like a incarnation of him.
Well, if he was a wanderer, it's possible, because Enoch did allegedly ascend into the heavens. So,
well, and this is the Chariot.
Yeah,
and how people ascended into, like, what was his name? Elijah ascended into heaven in a chariot.
Chariot of fire. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only two people that ascended through the windows of heaven were by chariot. Yeah.
Eight of Swords. This is from my Edgar Allan Poe deck.
Isn't that one of your, is that usually one of your cards, or is it Eight of Wands?
Eight of Wands.
Okay, never mind. Eight of Swords.
The Eight of Swords, this one is depicted in the Rider-Waite as the woman who's blindfolded among all those swords that are sticking in the ground, and she's like has her hand tied behind her back. Yeah. Cool. And why don't you introduce our guest and then he could pull a card.
Okay. Adam is a friend. Adam is our dear friend. And I met Adam probably like it's going to be, oh, is it going to be 3 years, Adam? Don't, no way, no way.
Yeah, it's,
no,
it's
oh
been
my
at
God.
Least 2019 since,
yeah,
since the Zen days. I mean,
holy,
I was in my old house still.
I cannot believe.
I think I'm pushing the end of 3 years.
I'm
actually
blown away. We're getting to the 3 year mark where when we met. I can't even believe it. So we met through Zen Garcia's YouTube channel, and then there was a Discord there, and we met through the Discord chat. And ever since then, we kind of like me, him, and just a couple other people seemed to like resonate on things. So I created a group of people that I felt had similar, like we were onto similar things, and we wanted to research things like without judgment, without just being open-minded and not worrying about somebody judging us for what we were looking into. And not caring that we, you know, people had sacred cows, but we were like, I don't care about a sacred cow. I want to know the truth. Uh-huh. So that's how Adam and I met. But Adam has since moved. He used to be in North Carolina. Now he's in South Carolina. And we had him on our first guest in episode 3.
And now the last. See you. Good night. It's been a good show. Been a good run.
And Adam has since had a little baby. He's about to be 1 year old. He's a darling. And Adam's just living the dream, farmsteading, homesteading, doing all kinds of stuff, and also just looking into a lot of the same topics that Brandon and I are, and coming to some very, very amazing, interesting epiphanies. So that's kind of what we want to talk about today. Just a lot of things that the three of us have been looking into and just maybe like shooting from the hip, trying to chat about it and see what we can uncover and what we can discover, et cetera. So Adam.
Thanks, Sharon. That was a lovely intro.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually from Pennsylvania and grew up on a farm up there. And I was like, oh, what's his computer life? So I went to go do computers in this big city in Charlotte. And, you know, when I saw the writings in the sky, I'm like, got to get out. And so that's when my awakening started. And back in 2017, I found a random video, The Earth is Flat. And I told my wife, I'm like, I want to watch this stupid flat Earth video. She fell asleep. I watched, just streamed after streamed. And back in, you know, 2017, YouTube's like recommending more and more. You know, there wasn't any censorship then. I wake her up. It's flat. It's effing flat. And she's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, since then I've just been testing all things and throwing the baby out in some cases and the bathwater out in some cases and sometimes both. And, you know, here we are. So big journey. Back now I have a nice homestead. Cows. Yeah. Nice homestead, raising our own livestock. Goats, rabbits, ducks, turkeys, chickens, swamps full of frogs. And, you know, ever since we've been trying to have a baby for about 5 years. And then as soon as we left Charlotte, said, hey, we know we're going to just kind of trust the creator and just live off the land. Boom, pregnant. So, you know, we're working on another one and, you know, God willing, things are doing really well. Yay. So, yeah, man. And I pulled the 7. Oh, now I think I pulled it upside down, so I gotta reveal it. The 7 of Pentacles. I'll turn it up. That's what I ended up pulling.
Oh, what deck is that?
This is the Aquarian tarot deck.
Appropriate for an Aquarian.
Yeah, for an Aquarian like myself. Going into the age of Aquarius. Or maybe we're already in it. Who knows?
Air
age
sign.
Of Hilarious. So all right, Brandon, share away.
Well, we got a pair of sevens because
reversed.
The chariot's also a
chariot's
seven.
A seven.
So pentacles have to do with this realm. Speaking of what you were saying about it being possibly flat, probably. And a seven is a really good number. It's the number of perfection. So when you get to the seven, it's really about, well, it's an uneven number. So in that perfection, you could say it is kind of uneven. It's a little hectic, but I think it's the same way as we look at the world being perfect. We always say that you might not always agree with what's going on out in the world and everything we see, but it's just an expression of everything that's happened up till this point. And that has to keep happening until it gets back in alignment, I guess, which who knows if that'll ever happen, right? So, and also it has to do, because if you think of the minor arcana from 1 to 10, 7 is the first glimpse that you get at mastery. So it's really good. I think it would have to point to maybe you with your homestead and stuff, which I've actually visited. It's a lovely place. So, kudos to you. It's an awesome spot, especially that night we had that fire. That was really cool. And I mean, he makes his own food, you know, like all kinds of stuff going on. Mushrooms too. You didn't mention that. You still grow mushrooms?
When they want to grow.
Yeah, right.
Can't control that one. Yeah. But yeah, we've been, you know, it's been really cool to have several meals that are 100% backyard, like the vegetables, lettuce, you know, herbs, meat. It's pretty cool. I'm growing a bunch of corn, like things that are like straightforward and simple. Like I get a kick out of Owen's, like people don't even know where a carrot comes from. Like it comes from the ground, people, and not the supermarket. So, you know, I grew up on the farm and just kind of trying to remember all these old things my grandma used to do, my family used to do, and trying to implement them here. I'm like, oh, nope, that didn't work. That was a waste of a full season. Try it again next time. But it's a blast. It's fun.
Yeah. I think you always learn though, even through mistakes. That's what we try to tell people in life, not just in farming. When you're trying something, when you're out there doing it and giving it your best, even if you fail, you still really don't fail because you gain that experience and now you know, and you can also share it with other people too. So how are the goats going, by the way?
Yeah. And you can't really fail too big, you know, when you're doing things on your own property, like building stuff or, I mean, unless you don't do your fence up right and put your animals in there and you wake up the next morning and they're gone. Well, that's a pretty big fail, I'd say. But most of my fails are like, okay, whoops, I guess I cut that wood wrong or I made a mistake in that thing. So it's pretty straightforward. The goats are doing great. I had to separate the boys and the girls maybe last month. They were just the boys. They're still fighting for dominance. He wants to be the alpha. And so they're rutting quite a bit. And when they rut around the boy, ruts when they have horns and they start kind of like bashing heads with each other to establish who's going to be the alpha, which I know which one it is. And the other's two gamma. I don't even know why he's even trying, but I love him, but he's black and he's a gamma. What are you gonna do? But when they rut too close and butt heads around the girls, well then the girls start taking, you know, headshots, body shots, and I was like, we can't be doing this. So I put a divider up in the middle. Now the boys are on one side, and I had like this old carport tent that I moved in there. And then I lined it up with like pallets that I ganked from the back of Home Depot, and I was ganking allegedly. Them. And oh no, I admit it. Well, here's the cool thing is I'm back there throwing, I mean, just dozens and dozens in the back of my truck, and some, you know, teenager kid that worked there on a little forklift comes rolling back behind there, super slow. He's kind of like eyeing me up and just nod at him. He's like, I don't care. He just keeps going by. All right. I got him. Approved. I don't care from a teenager at Home Depot. I just keep loading up the truck.
Yeah. So, most places just give away pallets. They don't even care. They have so many of them.
They don't care. But yeah, the boys are doing good. The girls are doing good. I'm expecting some kids in the next 6 weeks. That's the earliest I can expect them to deliver. So now it's that'll be the next fun thing. And then, I don't know if you watch how like, you know, I watch different videos, especially how Owen does his milking with his goats and how he uses these big mason jars, like the half gallon mason jars. And he lets them sit for a while. And, you know, I'm getting ready to do all that process. Kate, just she's a huge like barter guru. Like I say, hey, I need these. She goes on Facebook or wherever. And it's like, hey, I got this great deal. And I traded it like for chicken eggs. Like, what? How did you do that? Yeah, she just said it'll take 4 dozen chicken eggs instead of us paying them $20. Dude, great. That's just printing money out there. So she got like, I think a half gallon mason jar is like $15 right now on Amazon, something stupid. And she's got like $1.80. Like we had to buy 100 of them, but so we're just ramping up for goat milk production. And rabbit meat galore, and
amazing.
It's fun. So if you ever come over, anyone ever comes over, anybody, I'll cook you up some fried rabbit and you'll have a good old meal.
Nice. I still need to go over there. I have not visited Adam yet. So.
Yeah, you totally should, Sharon.
I know, I should. So Adam, tell us a little bit how you got your goats.
Oh yeah. So one of our mutual friends, Sharon and I, she's been following us. She's been, how do I say it? Yeah. Following alongside of us as our journey has progressed radically in the last 3 years of, we're in one truth community. We're like, oh, nope, that's not right. And another truth community. Oh, nope, that's not right. Or you find a new truth and just can't hang on to certain details. Well, our friend Daisy has been, did I say Karen earlier? No, our friend Daisy, she's a goat herder out in Kansas, and she's part of our group. And so when I told her I bought two does, I said I wanted some of her bucks. And so I got some hog panels, tied them all together, went over to Kansas. That's five states away. And picked up the boys, stayed there overnight, and brought them back. And after doing a 14-day trip with Brandon across the country, I'm like, I can do Kansas. That's half the time.
That's so awesome.
So, well, it was actually a third of the time, but I mean, it was fun. So it was a long trip. It was like 18 hours one way, crashed at her house and came back. Yeah. My cousin, he came down from Pennsylvania, and we talked all kinds of stuff. Probably some of the stuff we'll talk here tonight, just about, you know, sovereignty, the sky clock, what is and what isn't in the Bible, and how to, you know, decode it and use it and apply it, and all kinds of fun stuff, you know, stuff that I find
resets,
interesting.
Maybe.
Oh yeah. Lots of resets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Anything you want to ask? Anything else you want to ask Brandon about the homesteading stuff?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I got you remember that PMA guy that was on Crow, Mike something or other. That's actually his official last name, something or other. He's in California. Mm-hmm. I did a Zoom call with him, talking about what I was trying to do with my 508. So this kind of goes into sovereignty. As you know, the last 2 years, all the churches, they still closed their doors too and made you, you know, put a diaper on your face because they're a 501c3. Exactly. And as you know, that's still part of a corporate entity. So they have their corporate God to worship, and they showed who their true God is that they worship behind their pulpit, is the dollar, is their government. So what you can do is create your own 508. And a 508 is, like, if you want to do a PMA, a private membership agreement, you're going to want to create a 508 company instead of a 501c3. And it's, you still get taxed exception, tax exempt, but it's technically tax exception. And the IRS will leave you alone. You don't pay any state taxes, any sales tax, none of that stuff. And you stay in the private realm. Well, I started that 2 years ago and never finished it. And I reached out to Mike. And him and I kind of trading services. I'm trying to help him with some of his, the sovereignty paperwork. And he's helping me out with my PMA paperwork to finish that part up. So when that happens, then I can start, I'm already working on a website for our homesteading, to sell meat, rabbit meat, chicken meat, to sell goat's milk, goat's cheese. Certain states have certain laws that you can and can't do this, that, and the other. In South Carolina, it's getting more and more strict as far as goat's milk specifically. They used to be one of the bigger states for grade A milk production, or grade B milk production, pardon me. So California, South Carolina, they had a grade B, which means anybody has got a goat and you got a bucket, that's technically grade B. There's a little sanitary into it, but then you can sell the milk, you can make the cheese. No license to do soap or anything like that. Well, then they changed it to grade A only. Well, now in South Carolina, there's only three goat herders that are allowed or capable of doing that type of grade A production. You got to upgrade, you know, your facilities to all stainless steel, the milking floor, everything's got to be upgraded. That's at least spend $30,000 just to upgrade a whole stainless steel kitchen and all that stuff. So that shut down, you know, all but three people in the state. And even with the cheese could go down to like grade C or something like that. You can't do that goat cheese anymore. As a matter of fact, it's illegal to transfer goat's milk across state lines from South Carolina now, kind of like the prohibition days of alcohol, you know, having making your own moonshine, smoking the bandit type stuff. Yeah, you can't, no one's going to actually, I don't think any cops going to actually like, is that goat's milk in there? Son, you got to step in the back out of your car. That's, but I mean, legally, that's technically a prohibition type thing. So by doing a PMA, I circumnavigate all of that, bringing it full circle. So that's what we're working on, is doing a PMA so that when we can actually start perfecting the goat's milk and the goat cheese, which takes a couple months anyhow, then we, you know, we'll start advertising locally and taking orders on the PMA stuff, and same thing with rabbit's meat. I sell livestock now online. That does pretty well, but I don't have my PMA is not finished. So I can't really sell meat, you know, legally or lawfully. So that's my next big thing that I'm working on. So, is the PMA.
In regards to a PMA, is the PMA in the 508C1A definition? Is that what the definition of 508C1A is?
Oh, that's PMA? Just like
or is it, are they two separate things, but they're kind of used together in tandem?
Yeah, it's a marriage. They're two different things. Like, I don't think you need to have a 508 to have, I don't know. So like gentlemen's clubs or like certain underground bars or cigar clubs, that you get to sign a little thing that, you know, hey, this is a private bar, you know, it's a $1 fee, sign this, you know, sign in sheet and you can come in. Well, that's the PMA. That's the private. So you're, by giving them that dollar and signing your name, you're taking the public man. The public man stays outside while the private man, the living man, can come inside and do whatever. And John Q. Law can't come in and disrupt anything. So that's the PMA side of things. The 508 side really has to protect you from the big government of like coming in for taxes, sales tax, states, federal tax, all that type of stuff. Legal and lawful still goes into the PMA, but the 508 is just the IRS. It's just the IRS saying, we acknowledge the transactions of legal tender through this entity that's a 508 nonprofit church. You're considered a church, and we're not gonna harass you with any tax stuff. But that's not gonna stop, you know, the courts to do their thing, and Johnny with a gun on the side of the road to do his thing. That's where the PMA side helps you. And then with Mike's services, he runs, it's called Rogue Renegade Nation. That's the PMA. And then that PMA, if you're part of his PMA, Renegade Nation, you get entered into a big database. So now you can search the database by type, category. Hey, is there any vets in the area? It's a PMA. Kind of like the bears group, right? We try to support other bears because they're like-minded people aspiring to get out of the beast system and support, you know, themselves and the community. So there's it's not an official bears list, but it's like that. Hey, I know this bear that can do that. Well, it's the same thing with the PMA. The Renegade Nation is kind of like that. Hey, I need to find someone that sells this product or this service. And, you know, I know I can trust them because they're part of that. So I'll get entered into that system as well. And they can say, oh, South Carolina, there's a local goat's milk guy, meats guy, cheese guy, whatnot. And then, you know, the courts try to file something against me or anything like that. Well, then that PMA, that's when that kicks in.
Got it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. And so you're really close to finishing all that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have to dot my I's and cross my T's and all the other stuff. And, you know, the other thing would be is getting milk. small thing there. But I don't, you know, I don't know what I'm doing as far as, I've never milked a goat officially before. So there's still a lot to learn. I never had chickens before 2 years ago. Now I have people calling me left and right. My chicken's doing this. This is happening. What do I do here? How do I fix this? And I'm like, well, what you need to do here is, because I've been through most of it. So, and now I'm learning my ropes with the rabbits. I've made a lot of mistakes this year with rabbits. Ton of mistakes. I've lost half I've lost half of newborn litters. Never breed rabbits outdoors in the summer. It's going to be a nightmare. So wow, live and learn.
You started somewhere. You had
to start somewhere. So. Right. I wasn't sitting in the basement in my mom's attic or my mom's basement somewhere in the city, you know, being a gamma. I'm like, oh, it must be nice. I want to blah, 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 blah. No, I'm out there doing it and trying it and failing. And it's great. You know, it sucks having to bury, you know, 2-day-old bunnies, but at the same time, I've learned something, right? How can I make the next bunch of bunnies better and their lives better and so on and so on.
It's the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
Almost wanted to sing the song. That's really great.
I actually did that when I brought the boy home. The first thing I did, I think I was telling Brandon this. I went out to the chicken pen and I just held him up like this. And I started the circle of, you know, I don't know if YouTube's going to ban that, but you know, so I'm just holding him up and doing all this stuff. The chickens, cause they'll come to my voice anyhow, I'll throw some scratch and they'll come around and now everyone's surrounded. And it was just a moment only I could share with myself in real time. But it was, if there's ever a replay of that, it's pretty funny.
That's anyhow. Pretty hilarious.
So awesome. So some of the other topics that we've come across involve resets, timelines. We've been looking into the archaic stuff. The funny part about that is you had, okay, so I'm just going to go back down memory lane. And I'm guessing it was about, maybe it was a year ago when I
told you about- It was mid 2020. If you're going to tell the story the way I think you're going to tell it.
Okay. Well, I think it was Jay Dreamers that I told you about because someone on this Discord that we were in was talking about some stuff and they're like, this is the next big thing. They're talking about plasma stuff and- And I was like, Adam, have you seen this? And you're like, I'm on it. And then you just went down this rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. And now then, I'm like, I'm getting ready to be, I want to be a mod for his channel. Like I hop on, it's like Plasma Bear's here. So like we got a good record, Discord going on between me and Jay anyhow. So it's.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It kind of, I've read everything he's, or watched everything he's done. Cause he was the leading guy talking about, you know, apocalyptic plasma event, you know,
reset
the whole what is it, how does it work, the hole in the sky firmament stuff. He does other stuff too. He's got quite an interesting history, which is very similar certain levels with Jason of Archaics, where he had it's his story to tell, it's public, he has a half an hour video talking about it, so I won't go into too much detail, but same type of, he spent 5 years wrongfully in sitting in jail and spent that time reading books, that crazy books, the books he's like, how do I have access to it? Well, Jason Archaics is like, you'd be surprised, all those books they try to hide that they can't burn, they go to the libraries, that's where that's all at. And so, you know, Jay Jamers spent you know, that many years just reading and studying and dissecting and teaching himself different languages, and you know, had a Christian background, started testing this. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So you start reading a different quote unquote religion. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And he just keeps doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So not only does he talk about things that he's discovered in his own journey of, you know, timelines and apocalyptic resets, but he also breaks down etymology, real good job of breaking down Old Testament, different topics here and there, elves, Elohims, Falcons, all the same thing, all the same people group. He does some really cool stuff. But yeah, the whole plasma stuff, that was the first guy I'd found that actually dove into it. And before even Jason of Archaics really, he was around before he got really big. But even before I found Jason of, or JFJ Dreamers, if you remember back in 2020, it started for me in 2018, 19, on my old job, I started studying eclipses. And on my own, I started following the timetables of when the last eclipse was, how do eclipses work, the 2017 revelation type eclipse that was in the sky. Started adding 7 years. And like, okay, well, if you had 7 years from the 2017 eclipse, then you get the 2024 April 8th eclipse, which is supposed to be an eclipse that hasn't happened in like 90 years. So it's supposed to be a really big deal. And I started sharing with you guys about the moon eater, Medusa, the spaghetti monster. If you guys remember, you're like, what's the spaghetti Rahu monster? We understood flat earth. We understood the whole dome thing. But like, what are you talking about? Like Medusa and the sky opening and like the Indian cultures has this guy eating the sun. And every culture has, what's that? Shiva, right? Shiva with multiple arms and the ring of fire. It's all depicting the same thing. And so I started reaching out to Sharon and Daisy and our other friend Karen, who was on Crow recently, knocked it out of the park. Laura Austin, big name. So I was kind of pitching this idea. I'm like, guys, I think I'm crazy. Can you guys help, steer me in the right direction of like Ketu and Rahu and Ketu? I introduced you guys on that and gave you that book and started pitching these ideas. You're like, I think you're onto something. I started scratching and scratching and scratching. And then I found this guy, Bale. Who's that? Bale 33, Brian Austin Lambert.
Yes, yes.
Total tool. I think he faked his own alleged death. But that aside, the content he put out was interesting, but the demeanor that he did it was
arrogant and pride.
Yeah, a lot of that pride spirit was heavy there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to get off my channel. Or you could just calmly say what it is. Interesting. Yeah. So I started, unfortunately, it was the richest content I can find. And then he led me into Jay Dreamers and I studied his work intensely. And then I read things like the Light of Egypt, trying to find little things here and there. And then Archaics came around and was just knocking stuff out of the park left and right. Now, I don't agree with everything he talks about, but a lot of it checks out from my own studies of like the next Phoenix event, plasma event, apocalypse, which just means revealing. It's the same type of thing. The hole in the sky, the Death Star, the Medusa, people turning to stone. All these things are just describing the same thing. Well, that's where the Squatter Man comes into picture. We have the head and the little circle and the staff and the other circle. And it's just two tourist fields. Two Taurus fields, balls, and when the sky, kind of like the aurora borealis, when those magnetic energies in the sky start creating these cool little green wavy lines, well, when you have those two energy pulses like that, that are pushing up like that, you're going to have a U and a U, and those magnetic fields are going to look like a Squatter Man. A lot of science fiction depicts that by having like worlds collide. We'll have like one Earth or another planet, a planet's, and they're slowly like coming together, and then they'll just kind of like fade the picture away. That's what it's depicting, is that Squatter Man. As a matter of fact, I learned that if you look at the overview of a basketball court, the basketball court is the Squatter Man. It has like the one net and the other net. Well, this has got a half circle around this net, another half circle on this net. It's got the line, and it's got two other circles coming for like however the basketball works.
Well, I think even the ball,
has the Squatter Man on it. And so I was watching about how they use these arenas and stadiums to harness the energy of the players for that specific, to harness the energy. And I guess that Squatter Man configuration is how you get the most energy. They're just mirroring how it works as above, so below, as within, so without. I hate when people say as above, so below as with, or as above, so below as above. I'm like, that's not even how it goes. Anyhow.
As above, so below me. Sharon, can you turn your mic up a little bit? Because Adam sounds louder than you. So,
oh, is that me?
No, you're, me? I think you're right.
Me?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting what you're saying about the basketball court. A lot of people don't realize, I'm sure every sport, if you look at it with the stadiums, that it's some kind of energy harnessing device. And at the very least, they're just harnessing everybody's energy. I've been saying this for years, even before I was into any of this stuff. I'd be like, you could go up to the average person and he knows everything about like the New York Yankees, but he has no idea about what the people that are in charge of his life are doing right now. You know, I'm like, people are like, why don't you want to talk about sports? I'm like, ugh.
Dude, I always freaking hated sports, and like people yakking about it would drive me in freaking.
Oh yeah. Sun. Even when I actually could tolerate sports and I would sit and watch sports, I still hated conversing about it. And now that I'm out and checked out and I don't care about that blue shift, red shift dive, man, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Just kind of have to go to those Thanksgiving dinners and just smile. Yeah, just pretend it'll be
about
over
those
soon.
Cowboys and the Redskins, huh? Isn't that crazy?
Oh man. Cowboys. Now there's a word for you. They can't be men. They got to be boys. That kind of goes into back to sovereignty a little bit. Oh, gosh, I got my two things I want to talk about were kind of like sovereignty and the archaics type stuff. And they kind of blend together.
They do.
With like the cowboy, it has to do with the moon cow, and the moon cow is the placenta. So and why that matters is that's the original cake. That is the original birthday cake. It actually means cake, placenta. It's a plane. So in sovereignty, you know, people talk about, oh, common law this, common law that. Well, the common law does not recognize absolute ownership. And that's a problem. If it doesn't recognize absolute ownership, so that means you can't own your own biology. Well, when you're in the matrix, mother's womb, you have the placenta, which is the father, our father who art in heaven. You have the stem, which is the umbilical cord, and you have the fruit of that, which is you, the man. So when you come out, you are whole. That is you. And if you know the baby's sitting there nursing on mama, and the placenta's still attached, and the umbilical cord still attached, and it's calm, and you show it the placenta and show it the cord, and it's still calm, and you take a pair of scissors and you cut it, guess what? The baby starts screaming because you just cut off part of its member. Now, it'll naturally fall off on its own anyhow, but that's how the Vatican and all of them, when they make that cut, that's actually human trafficking. And so that's why they need a license. A license is something that you would need. If you didn't have a license, then it would be illegal. So a license, which what would be illegal, is now lawful. So without the license and what lawful. You're doing, pardon me. So without the license, you're committing a crime. So the doctor needs to have a license so that when he human traffics you, he can commit the crime.
Right.
Now, the placenta is the creditor and the man's the debtor. So then the credit is what they create the trust out of, the birth certificate. That's they create the trust off that, because that is the father, that's the creator. So when you accept the birthday, you are accepting the actual cut. You're accepting the cut. You're saying, well, I was born when I came out of my mother. You know, that's where the whole Roe v. versus Wade thing comes into play of like, when is a baby? When does life begin, right? And some people are like, oh no, it happens when you come out and they make that cut. No, making that cut, that's the human trafficking. So that's in common law, they don't recognize absolute ownership. So that's a problem because now you're part of the public pool. So when you're part of the public pool, you're of the world, you're of the public. Well, Jesus came and said, don't be of the world, just be in the world. So accepting the cut is accepting the birthday, which is accepting the human trafficking. And now you need to be saved because you are without your father. That's why Jesus said in Mark 35, 31 or something like that, those who are whole need not a physician. Well, if you're whole of your placenta and your umbilical cord and you, that's all one same biology. It's the same exact biology, right? And all the stuff I'm getting from is I studied Curtis R. period Kallenbach, and he's been on Crow a ton of different times. He has his own podcast called New Word Order, WORD. It's intense. It's really intense. And he goes really deep into all this stuff. So when you accept that, then there's no privacy. There's no private because you're now part of the public. But if I show up to court and I said, I'm all present and accounted for from my zygote to my last breath, because you can only be in the now. I'm here now. So I acknowledge that I have with me my placenta, because that's my biology. I have with me my umbilical cord. That's my biology. I have my first breath, and I know I'll have my last one. But right now I'm now, and I'm whole and I'm present. That's it. They cannot move forward because you didn't admit to human trafficking, which means you didn't admit to the birth date, which means there was no cut, which means you are completely whole. And if you're whole, well, there's nothing to credit. There's nothing to debit. It's a wash. So that's the idea that he gets behind in real deep detail. And he's like, you know, some of these people, like in, what's his name? Alphonse. Alphonse has done some good work as far as affidavits, but there's still some people want to go for the money, and some people want to stay in the system. Some people want to be of the public, of the world. Well, I'm not of the world. I'm in the world. I am me, and I'm here experiencing nature. And I don't think we're in a simulation. And so it was interesting because as I was just saying all that stuff, Curtis, his granddaughter, came up to him just the other day and said, she's 17. Do we live in a simulation? And he's like, that's the most wild thing I've ever heard. No. Why do you say that? And because it's becoming a big, huge thing now with archaics pushing all this stuff. And this is where I disagree with his work. A simulation is nothing more than pretending, right? It's fake. It's not real. Well, I am real. Now, I know things are made out of light and there's density and matter and whatnot, but without the present, there is no history. So I exist. I am. I am sovereign. I am whole. Oop, time to feed the goats. Not right now. I am whole, accounted, and present for from the zygote to my last breath. This is creation. Creation is real. Like the plants outside are real. A tree is real. The sun, whatever it is, it's real. I see it. So to simulate something means that it has to, and he explains this, he's like, something else has to exist first to replicate. But what we have now doesn't need to be replicated. It is what it is. So the thing that he admits on his show is that he said all the things that he's studied in every book, he can only make one conclusion. Now, he said he doesn't have actual evidence that we live in a simulation, but he states that because of all the things that I found, I can only conclude that we live in a simulation. But there's still no correlation, still an assumption. So that's when I think the law of one kind of kicks in, where I can see where someone would still make that type of conclusion that we live in a simulation because, you know, there's an infinite, it's all fractals, right? It's all repetitive. We live in cycles, this, that, and the other. And there may be an infinite end, or this might be an infinite playground. But I think the only infinite end is if you study law of one, which I know you guys do, is that when you go from third density to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh, well, seventh would be the full embodiment of the creator, fully enjoying itself and experiencing everything that I'd ever experienced and recalling all that and enjoying that bliss until, as the Indians talk about Brahma, who decided he wanted to re-experience himself. So he fractaled himself apart into billions and billions of different fractals of air, water, fire, rocks, chickens, water, you know, people, sky, whatever, so he could experience every bit of that at density one, to then go to density 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I think it's just an endless cycle. So I don't think that saying we live in a simulation checks out. I do think that there are other things that are outside of the dome. I think there is stuff that goes on there, but it just doesn't, saying we live in a simulation is to call creation fake. Well, I don't think that grass growing outside is fake. I know that it's light. I know it's frequency and density, but so are we. So is our chakras. So is our emotions. So is all energy. That's just how the system works. So
I think the best way that I like to put it, and this is something I learned a few years ago from the lovely Michael Tessarion, is that it's just a mystery to us and there's really no way for us to know. So I think it's better if it's a mystery to just leave it as a cosmic mystery and to just be in awe of it and to not try to nail down what it is, because in nailing down what it is, then you start to just divide. We've talked about this a lot in the Oversharing Show, how there's all this division. And that's why we're still able to listen to people like Archaics and, you know, Owen Benjamin and all these other different people, because we realize that there is a mystery and we don't have to agree on every single little detail of what it could be. We just realize there's a lot of truth that lines up and we can learn from other people, even if we don't totally agree with them. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
Oh, fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something, I don't know who said it, but it stuck with me, is once you start to realize like a higher dimensional consciousness, once you are in it and realize it, you'll instantly be pulled out of it, because if you're focusing on it, well, then you're losing the point of being in it. And so then you're pulled back out into this three-dimensional body, kind of like when you're sleeping. Yeah. You realize you're sleeping. Okay, you woke up. You either experience it and just let it be an experience, or once you start to give it focus, then you're pulled out of that experience.
Yeah, it reminds me of a meme I just saw, and it's like, sometimes I reach enlightenment and then I realize I'm enlightened and then I become unenlightened.
Right. That's exactly it.
You know, yeah, it's totally true. I think that it's better to just leave it as a mystery, because we really don't know. And I think that's what I wanted to say. If you feel like you have to know because there's something about it that you just need that security, then it's just, for me anyway, it's a reason to look inside myself again to say, why do I need the security? What's wrong with the experience that the creator gave me? It's not enough. I need to know exactly everything. I'm not the creator. I'm just an aspect of him. So I just have to take what I'm given and go with it from there. And why should I argue with other people about it? Because I feel like a lot of people are turned off to Archaics, to Jason's work, because they think he's just a simulation theory guy. Right. When the funny thing is, that's the least amount of really what he's talking about. That's just his conclusion, because of everything in his life that he's been through has led him up to this, you know? So, I mean, I'm not saying he's wrong. He could be right. It could make sense on a certain level, but I hear exactly what you're saying. And that makes a lot of sense too. But again, I don't know. And it's okay that I don't know. I think it's okay for us to admit that. In this society, we're always taught that you have to know, you know, we're always taught in school to memorize these known facts, you know, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, you know, all these things, and we're rewarded and people are given these rewards and medals and pats on the head for knowing the most facts, when, you know, it's just like the Tao says, and several other religious texts are like those, you know, it's more about, when you don't know, that's when you really know. When you know you don't know is when you really know. Yeah.
Right. Because at that point, you're opened up to other ideas and other possibilities.
Yeah. Absolutely. Other than that, you're just lying to yourself, because you don't know. You know, you really don't. So were you going to say something earlier, Sharon? You wanted to interrupt. So I don't know if you.
Yeah. Well, you said some things along the lines of what I wanted to say, but I just wanted to maybe reiterate what you said in a different way, that just because you don't agree with someone's conclusion or, you know, some aspect of what someone is saying, doesn't mean you have to not listen to anything else they're saying.
Right.
Because, and I feel like there are people, like you said, there are people out there, and I won't name any names. There are people out there who I suspect are not looking into Archaics, who are kind of big names out there, because they fear this whole, well, he's talking about it's a simulation and I don't believe it's a simulation. So what? Ask him questions. He's a very interesting person.
Right.
You know, it's like, why does it have to center around the thing you disagree about? Why can't you talk about other things? You know what I mean?
There's a plethora of topics. I mean, that's the only thing that I have a different opinion on. And right. You know, either way, I don't care. All of his other work is just a fountain of information. It's
right. And like you said, Adam, it's just the conclusion he's been able to come to with the information he has. And he is he's quite a humble man, in the sense that he's open-minded and he's open to seeing possibilities and things like that's why he's where he's at.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would never have made such conclusions. He would have been stuck in his Christian hole.
He's very open-minded. Yeah.
Right? You know, because he was stuck in this Christian mindset after even being in prison for many years, until he began to see things that didn't really jive, things that didn't make sense. So, I mean, it's just, I think we just have to be open-minded and listen to people's thoughts on things.
Yeah, I've watched him change his opinion on something in midstreams of Jay Dreamer's shows, his first show.
Oh.
Because he was like, now you're really pitching, you know, the version that Jay Dreamer's pitches out is like the ultimate grand poobah, you know, Phoenix event. He's like, now I just kind of do all the small ones that are localized, like the Sodom and Gomorrah here and these types of things. And I just kind of put it all together. He's like, but it wasn't until watching Jay Dreamer's that he's like, because of how Jay Dreamer's paints it to be like the grand poobah, and Jay had always thought they were all like that, so they kind of worked together. That's when Jason of Archaics was like, I wonder how many of those ones there have been. And he, through his own research, he found five grand poobah, you know, resets. So that helped him shift his work a little bit and open up Jay Dreamer's to be like, oh, so some of them are just smaller events. So,
right.
And I like people that can just take that and be humble and yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like the Tower of Babel story where people started to speak different languages. What if it wasn't just different languages? What if it was also different points of view? People just got so attached to their point of view, they wanted to be right. Whereas we say this all the time, I think you should just focus on somebody's behavior, how they're treating others, and are they hurting anybody? You know, and if they're not, then proceed, you know, as long as they're not leading anybody down paths of self-destruction or anything like that. You know, he's definitely not a fear porn guy. That's what I love about Jason from Archaics. He always tells,
I love that.
He's like, no matter what happens, as long as you don't have any fear, you'll be fine, which I love, because that has been proven true time after time. So,
and I love that he's not victim-y.
That's a hard thing to find these days
at all. And like so many people these days are victim-y, and it's like, he's not at all.
Even some big namers that we were talking about earlier, that
I love that about him. And there are very few people in this, like, I guess in the YouTube channels and podcasts that we watch and stuff like that, there are very few people who like, I'm just like, I just genuinely just like love that person, because I just see the genuine, like, I just see love in them. Right. Yeah. And though two of those people I can say right now are Jason of Archaics and Aaron Abke. Like,
oh gosh. Yeah. Aaron,
they're both just like, you can just tell they're so not victim-y, and they're so about like, they're just real.
Yeah, what you see is what you get, especially with Jason. He's just straightforward. I know people that are like him, so that's why it really reminds me. You could just tell whatever he's saying is what he actually believes at the time. So, yeah.
And like with Jason, I can dismiss his simulation stuff and still get all the gravy I want. Just like listen to Aaron Abke. Sure, he thinks we're on a spinning ball and has all these other millions of years ago mindsets. And I'm just like, poor guy, he'll figure it out. Like, it's just like, I love you so much, man. I don't even care. You just keep doing your thing. Like,
right.
So it's easy to forgive than someone else is like, we're on a ball and I'm going to prove it to you. And I just like, dude.
Arrogance and pride.
Pride.
And Adam go ahead.
I was going to say, and if he turns out to be right and we wake up outside of a simulation, like, damn it, he was right. Like, who freaking knows? You know what I mean?
Like, but we'd be outside and be like, oh, cool. Who cared anyhow?
Yeah. But are we still in one though? Damn it. No.
Yeah. It's like that Rick and Morty episode when they were in, there's a Rick and Morty episode where they were in a simulation. They got out of the simulation to find out they were in another simulation. And we all, the audience thought, okay, good. They got out of that simulation. They find out they're in another simulation. And then by the time they ended it, the episode ended, and just like, we still in another simulation. So it was
dream within a dream within a dream, like the movie Inception.
Yeah. But if everything's fractal, then sure, at some level, it's what is a dream?
It could be something that is exactly what we think a simulation would be. We just don't have the right words for it. We just put our own words.
Well, here's what my words would be, like the scale of an octave or like on a piano, right? You have seven keys and then you have the next octave, which is the seven keys. Well, those seven keys look a lot like the seven keys. They feel the same way. Are they a simulation? No, but they're the same and they're not the same. So when they go to the next one and the next one, it's infinite. So it's going to be the same seven, absolutely. But it's a different, that's kind of how I see it.
Right. It's a different frequency. Just different.
It's not a simulation. Simulation is just one way of saying, well, that octave up there, they're replicating me. Dude, you're replicating the octave down below you. So like,
exactly.
It's not a replicate. It's just a fractal.
That's a very good way of explaining what the simulation is. It is another octave, like on a piano. That is amazing. Thank you for that.
And I think that's why so many sense. Yeah, it totally does. And I think that's why so many people are drawn to it, because there is a lot of truth when people say this, even when people like Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about it. There's so much truth when he talks about like infinite. There's like infinite different universes with the fractal and all this stuff. It's because they're just explaining. It's like that parable of, you know, seven people in the dark feeling an elephant, right? Mm. Everybody's going to have a different way to describe it. So
it's funny you mentioned Neil deGrasse Tyson, because
the bike thief with the answers.
I didn't listen to, I was scrolling through Telegram and somebody posted a video of him explaining how videos like pictures are, they were like trying to get him to say if it's a CGI or whatever. Like,
oh, nice.
Right. Or something like that. But it was captioned. So I was doing something and I couldn't listen. So I was listening to something else. So I was just scrolling through Telegram and I just read the captions and the way he's explaining it. Now that I can just have this open mind about like, there's truth in a lot of things, right? So as I'm seeing him, like I'm reading the captions of him explaining things of like, well, what the camera's seeing is infrared stuff. So it's seeing different infrared light frequencies or whatever that you can't see with your naked eye, because your naked eye cannot see those. But it's this visualization is taking those and giving you something that you can see. And he's right.
It's all about the context. I mean, they're exactly NASA and them are all right if you look at the right context that they're presenting the information from, just not the one that, you know, Hollywood. That's the thing. Hollywood presents the visuals, NASA presents the data, and the stupid sheeple kind of merge them together.
Yeah. So at the same time as he was explaining that, I'm like, well, he's right in many ways. Like, I can't disagree with that, with what he just said. And then it's like, I can have compassion for him, you know, because he is telling the truth to his knowledge. He's telling the truth, you know, it's what he believes, it's what he knows. And that's okay.
I think that's why people like that work so well for organizations like NASA or organizations like Hollywood, because they are speaking truth to their extent of their knowledge and they explain it to the best. And so that truth really resonates with other people. And then they say to you, how dare you? That's the truth. You know, it's like, well, there is a different way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there. I've been in that mindset. I get it. I can get how you're just like, what are you talking about? Of course, gravity is real. It calls down. It comes down. Duh. Did you hear how Owen kind of riffed? When he does these little riffs, he's like, the black science man keeps talking about gravity, but I can't figure it out. And just keeps bringing me down. Like he just... It's hysterical. We just need to play on his piano riffed in.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I want to bring up a few points that I took some notes while you were talking, Adam. We can talk about them as well. But one of the things I wanted to mention was the lotus birth was mentioned on Crow episode 423 with Grounded Extracts. Because his amazing wife, Najla, had their baby, the last two babies, at home, but the third baby, of the three, was actually Lotus Birth, which meant that the placenta was never cut, and it was just left there for the baby to, I don't even know if you would call that nursing, but
it's nourishment.
Yeah, for the baby to be nourished until it dried up itself and fell off the belly button or whatever. I don't know how exactly that works, but there was no detailed explanation, but essentially it falls off by itself when it's ready. And I thought that was like a really, really amazing thing. And I actually, so they live in South Carolina and so does Adam. So I've tried to introduce them so that they can meet each other.
Yeah.
And we will have just released an episode with him
last week,
right? Yeah.
When this airs. Yeah. So shout out to Grounded Extracts. Yeah. I listened to that episode of him on Crow, him and Najla. Wow. That was amazing.
Yes. That was a really
well. We're friends now on Bearteria Times.
Sweet.
And I've been following him for a while. I'm so lazy on that app, but I need to get on top of it. But yeah.
Yeah. No worries. And
yeah, I need to chit chat.
Yeah. You definitely do. Go to his website, get his email, and just email him. Because he'll answer emails.
Email.
Yeah, totally. But
yeah, totally. And some of his products too. In the episode that it hasn't aired yet, but we talk about all his different products. So if you haven't seen that episode, go back and watch it. We talk about all his products. He talks about how he uses them and the different dosages and what they're used for and all that stuff. It's crazy. There's a lot of different. What did he call them instead of side effects? He called them.
Oh yeah.
There's a word that he had.
It starts with an S.
Yeah. Something like side benefits or something.
Yeah. It was something like that. Surprises or something fun. It was something fun like that. And I can't remember what it was.
Well, with the Lotus Birth, that's something that I'm pitching on Kate to do for our next one. And what we knew, what we did with Jackson, I mean, we had to, because Kate was 42 weeks and the midwife, she would only go up to the end of 41 weeks. After that,
dare I interrupt you? You need to find a midwife who is not connected to these
things. Well, yes, you're right. However, that specific lady was like a godsend on her own, because she was licensed in North Carolina, but not in South Carolina, but was going to come down to South Carolina and do us a solid off the records. So we were just like, yeah, come. So she got it. She was legit. But even if we had someone else, maybe, but
everything is perfect. Everything happened the way it needed to happen.
Whatever those fluids are that are in the matrix, they were decreasing rapidly. And so they're at the point, okay, well, they're decreasing. He's at 42 weeks. I don't know. This is my first kid. So we went to the hospital and we took in a very large affidavit that threw everybody through the loops. But once they read it, then they were bending over. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full. So that worked out really well. But he ended up squeezing his umbilical cord several times, like choking himself off. So they rushed him and do the ER. We were trying to do natural, no sedatives while we were in the hospital. She was on the ball for a while and lots of pain. She's like, I hate this. Like typical, you know, TV movie type thing. That's when you have no sedatives. But so they eventually gave her something, not a sedative, but whatever, like the wimpiest thing was that she could take, she took. And then they went to do a C-section. And I was very adamant, her and I both, like, you're not doing a C-section until you read the affidavit and confirm that you're not cutting that umbilical cord, period. Well, what happens with the complication? Then my wife dies. Like, that's how important this is. His life in whole coming out. And then we're going to delay clamping. So you know, we went in there. He cried. I cried. He went on the table and he just laid there for a whole hour. And I stood there and watched him while they're sewing Kate up and everything. And they typically cut right away, or they'll do what they call a delayed clamping, which is like 5 minutes, something, you know, wussy. And I'm like, no, we're doing no less than 1 hour. And we had a fight a little bit, but we got it. because that's what I knew at that time. That's all I knew. Like everything in life, I do what I know to the best and max I can possibly can in that present moment. Right. Even if it's against the mainstream, I don't care. This is what I know to be true at that time. So we delayed clamp. And then I watched it as the umbilical cord started to get white, because when it starts eating all the nutrition out of it, then the umbilical cord gets white, letting you know that it's depleting, the blood's leaving. So at that point I said, okay, that's fine. And then they did the thing and then cut. Well, looking back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I did? But I'm like, I at that point, I didn't even know what a Lotus baby was. So everything was going great. He's super great. No vitamin K, no none of that stuff. I actually put out a huge 10-point document, excuse me, that I sent out to some Patriot groups, and I've helped a lot of other people go into hospitals who don't want a birth certificate and don't want their kid to be exposed to certain chemicals and don't want shots and this, that, and the other. So I've helped other people on the side with the document that I put together, and that's cool. It's great. But with the next one, I want to do a Lotus birth, and that's, I don't know how it's going to work because she has to have another C-section. So I don't know. That's a whole nother hurdle. It's one thing to be at home, have it in the bathtub and just be like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Talk but now it's just like, extracts. Okay, does the birth, yeah. Does the placenta get its own car seat on the way home? Like, I don't, there's a whole nother world to figure out.
Right. Yeah. He was talking all about C-sections, and I was even listening to an Owen Benjamin stream where Owen was saying something about C-sections, and grounded extract was going crazy and saying, never, don't do it. Never. He's like, I know, you know, so he has this, I'm not saying what you should do, but at least talk to him. Maybe he can enlighten you in some areas. That's all. We're not giving medical advice here on the Oversharing Show, guys. This is an entertainment show.
Yeah. We laugh at all this stuff.
Yeah. Plasma Bear is my actor name.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that. Cause I'm trying to collect as much information I can before that happens.
And what I gathered from the Crow episode where Najla was speaking about the Lotus birth, and just her second baby, where she just knew that she needed to have this baby at home and not in a hospital. And she knew the car was, did you get to listen to it, Adam?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
So, she knew that the car, for whatever reason, the car that they had that they needed to take to the hospital had been, I don't know, towed away or something. So they had no way to get there. So then she just was like, you know what? I'm going to close the bathroom door and I'm just going to have this baby right here in the tub. And she just had her faith and she just knew she was going to have her baby there. It's all in what you believe. It's, you just have to have faith that you're a creation of the Most High. You have been granted this ability as a woman to give this baby, I guess you would call it birth. I don't know what another word to use, but you just have to know and be confident and know that everything's going to be okay because you have this ability. It's natural. It's nature. So,
that's amazing. Yeah.
If, you know, I don't know if I know Kate probably, but here's the thing. Najla had her first baby in the hospital. And so when all that stuff went down in the first time, she's like, no, never more. Like, I don't want that at all. So she manifested her home birth.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Now I'll listen to it and send it to Kate, because Kate always listens to those Crow ones that, you know, with the giving birth at home or holistic type stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good episode. But yeah, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with the
Well, I didn't, I had highlighted here the 2 years, 2024 and 2040, which I wanted to circle back real quick.
Oh, with, yeah. I was just
with the plasma event stuff, but
topic with that's the baby, don't think I have left. Move on to
I mean, we're working on our second. We're very hopeful. So, you know, as long, I'll tie this in. I'm trying to have a second baby who can be a year old before the plasma event starts, right? So I want to be able to have them walk in and talk in, like, all right, boy, girl, get ready. It's time to grow 900 feet tall. But yeah, So I have my own, timetables I'm working on.
Well, that's fantastic.
A lotus birth would be really cool. And I'm trying to study into that. That's like, what does that look like? How does that work? Cause that placenta, I didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. I mean, that's 1/8 of your body at that point in time now. Yeah. And they just cut it right off. What's 1/8 of you now? And they just cut that off.
Yeah. James will definitely be able to tell you, because they talked about it in the show that they just, they left it there. I mean, it was with the baby and it just, and I don't know how many days. Do you remember how many days?
That's my next question.
I think it was maybe 2 or 3 days, something like that.
That's it.
It was several days. I can't remember how many days, but it was several days. And then it just itself fell off.
So you don't have to, so I guess he has the baby has an outie then, right? I mean, like how you clean up the, how do you make a belly button?
I have no idea. That's a very good question. And I would love to ask that question. And if we get him back on, which we could, we'll definitely ask him, and hopefully Najla can join as well. But yes, yeah, very good, very good questions. Back to, I guess, some of the other stuff.
Looks like a belly button.
Oh, just normal?
Yeah.
It does it on its own.
It almost looks like a swirl. Ooh. It's like it's not an innie. It's not an outie. It's like a flesh, but it's like a swirl, like a spiral. It's cool. I've never seen anything like that.
Do you want to share your screen, Brandon? You want to give them permission?
Sure. We can do that.
I don't know how to do that, but sure. Share screen. Oop.
All right, go ahead.
So that's one guy.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And then here's a baby.
It is a swirl.
So his is a little more, but see how, like, it's not outie. An innie. It's not completely an outie because it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, very.
All right.
Thank you.
I still want to see more from their baby. That's just a cool question.
Yeah. And their baby is basically totally an example. And you would be able to meet this baby because you probably only live like an hour or half an hour. I don't know how long. It's like,
yeah, maybe I'm only an hour from who's the silver bear guy? The guy that sells silver.
William Bear, Truth Movement Bear?
Truth Movement Bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only an hour from him. He actually just moved to South Carolina and they'll be officially moved in, officially. I mean, they're in, but living in boxes by the end of the month. So I'm hoping next month to swing out that way and bring them some housewarming gifts. If you're listening, you probably already know, but I'm going to be bringing in some housewarming gifts, some rabbits, some roosters, and some hens to grace your property. So share with another bear. But yeah, so more bears are moving here.
And you and Grounded Extracts and Truth Movement Bear can have a little meetup.
I've been trying to get a meetup going on South Carolina, but it's quiet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all good.
I'm not giving up.
It'll happen when it happens.
We'll get our airships.
Meant to happen.
Yeah. South Carolina port airship port. Well,
then if you get the airship, send it here and I'll head over. I'll go to your bear meeting.
We gotta wait to the vapor canopy before you come visit. Okay, I got it.
No, I'll try to visit sooner.
Speaking of vapor canopy, I had not heard of the 2040 date that he provided Jason of Archaics until he provided it with his 138 timetables based on the guys at Giza Pyramids. And, I was looking at the 1902 event that he's calling the last cyclical reset event, which I had not heard of until he presented it, but this evidence is crazy. My understanding prior to that was that 1860 was the last reset event based on the Carrington event. And the Carrington event has a lot of similarities to what Brian Austin Lambert presents as far as like what he calls Hell Week. It's like 1 week long, and the Carrington event lasted a full week, and that was over in Arizona, wasn't it? Over your area? I think it was over in Arizona. So that was in the 1860s, and then when the three of us went out to Arizona to Sedona to do a little getaway in the cabins in the on the mountains up there, Brandon and I had wandered off into these huge tree areas. Massive trees. It probably take three people to put your arms around. well, one of the trees was cut down, like someone sawed it down, I think, to put some power lines back there. And while him and Wellwood Bear were doing their own thing, I'm like, I'm going to count the rings. So I sat there and I counted all the rings on that tree, and I got to about 160 or something. I did the math and took me back to 1860. Like the number of the rings on the tree, if like the time this thing was started to grow, would have been right on 1860, which would have been the Carrington events over in Arizona. So after the Carrington finished, this tree started, and I just thought that was pretty cool. But that's the last thing that I knew about. And then 1902, it's starting to be pretty interesting. So I had been following the eclipses and thinking, well, okay, this event, whatever it looks like, however it functions, localized, worldwide, whatever. To me, I was finding 2024. And I was basing that only off of the sky clock, only off of eclipses. Nothing. I mean, what else can you base it off? This guy's book, this guy's interpretation of that book translated and that guy's interpretation. Okay, those are just men. You can't change the sky clock. So let me figure out how to read the sky clock. And that was one thing I took away from Zen, because he always said, you know, to be sky watchers. And I want to be a watcher of the sky, watcher of the night. So I started trying to figure out how do I interpret the sky. I started simple with eclipses. And the 2017 eclipse was a huge eclipse, which I actually did see, which they call the Revelation 12 or the Revelation 13 eclipse, one of those two, where all the planets aligned. And if you read Revelation 12, I think it's Revelation 12, where it talks about how the Virgin has the crown of the stars, and then the belly has the baby. Well, however that's lined up astrologically, that's how that lined it up.
The moon at her feet.
The moon at her feet, yeah. That astrologically played out on that eclipse that day. I was like, all right, well, if this is Revelation, I'm going to add 7 years, right? 7 years of good, 7 years of bad. So I did, and I got to a very interesting eclipse, which is April 8th, 2024. That would be round about 7 years. And that is a great eclipse, which hasn't happened since the early 1900s. So I don't know. I didn't look at the specific dates, but I don't think it was 1902. That'd be interesting, but it was very early 1900s. So I don't know what that is, but I do know that if you follow media and you look at things with that mindset, you'll see a lot of crazy stuff pointing towards 2024. Like Prince Williams just posted something the other day saying, well, you have 18 months to save the world. Okay, why 18 months?
Yeah.
Okay, 18 months. Well, that puts us in February 2024. We planning for something. The Caribbean Caravan, some cruise line, the C word cruise line. One of the cruise lines having a never done before 9-month cruise. And that cruise starts on the winter solstice of 2023. And it ends on 9/11/2024. Okay, well, that means they're leaving. If you want to assume this April 8th eclipse thing, that'd be smack dab in the middle of their tour. And their plan is to hop every single continent to, you know, to travel, to explore, for sightseeing. Well, the tickets are, how do you do the math? It's like $66,999. Which is like 66669 or something like that. So
3366911.
Exactly. And then there's tax on that too. But yeah, so I just find that interesting. And the more I keep finding these things, like at one point Google was like, World War III is scheduled to be on this date in the end of 2023. Well, they've removed that, but that was the same time period as the winter solstice. So I just keep finding, I have my own channel that talks specifically about the plasma stuff. It's nothing crazy. I post maybe once a week, because I'm just outside doing farm stuff all the time. But anytime people send me stuff I find interesting or related, I'll post it. But I have a lot of stuff pointing to 2024. All that to be said, Archaics talks about 2040.
But I think he has mentioned 2024 as well at some
point. Yeah, I think 2024 has some type of, there's definitely a big energy that's going to be happening during that eclipse. What I don't know how this whole thing works, as Brandon was saying earlier, it's a mystery. I like the mystery. I don't know. I'm just, I'm keeping my vibrations high, and I'm could be tomorrow, it could be that day, it could be 2040. I don't care. Whenever something happens, even if there's like an early entrance, you know, hey, you're gonna come to the premiere early before the big event, like cool, because you know that would be April 24, 2024. All right, cool. Or not, I don't know, but I'm staying ready. I'm watching. I'm just, that's all I can do, right? Anyone can do. So when he talked about 2040, that rang two different bells to me of that date that I thought were very interesting. That going back to what you said earlier, I had made this really big post on his channel and one of his other moderators took it down. I emailed him, but he hasn't, maybe I need to email him again about this because I haven't heard him talk about the two things I'm going to share now. I thought they were pretty interesting about 2040. Very, very interesting, actually. One was the Antarctic Peace Treaty. The Antarctic Peace Treaty was signed, I don't know, 50s, something 50s. Actually, I have it sitting right here. 2000, December 1st, 1959. That's when the Antarctic Peace Treaty was formed. And every country, you know, agreed to declare peace there. But, you know, don't countries go to war over land? But this specific land, they're going to be peaceful about it. When's that ever happened in his story? So it's like you got to ask, what are they protecting? Now, if you agree with a flat realm-ish thing that might have high Antarctic frozen walls, if you subscribe to that, what's over the walls, what's beyond, yada, yada, yada. They won't let you go there below beyond the 60th parallel to even go, you know, answer those questions for yourself. You'll be met with military police on the water, you know, the Navy, they'll arrest you, throw you in jail. But you can discuss it when the peace treaty is up. The peace treaty is up for renewal on the beginning of 2041, which means the peace treaty ends on 2040. The Antarctic peace treaty ends 2040. So that means the year 2041, if you accept it to be the full big reset, the great reset, then that means the year 2041 is year one. It's the new year one. So what they're telling you, the very first thing that's on the to-do list for year one is to reestablish this Antarctic Peace Treaty, because they know that's like, that's how you keep the peoples within. That's how you keep the globe lie running, is by restricting that. Now, you know, when we watch some other things from EWAR, it's possible that the realm might shift over a little bit if you accept the moon being a map, which I don't know if people still do that anymore, accepting the moon to be a mirrored image of what the realm looks like. And, you know, the kind of circle kind of moves around, whatever. However that may or may not work, that peace treaty might need to be up for renewal at the end of 2040, because they don't know the boundaries, the meets and bounds of whatever the new landscape is going to be after this big reset. So rule number one. So I found that very interesting, another 2040 reference. Another one would have been from Proclamation.
And that was from a Crow episode too. Crow noticed that it was
a- not that one. I picked that one up on my own. This one, okay, I'm not ready to bring up. Crow mentioned one. About
okay yeah, yeah,
but
yeah
not to the degree that I'm gonna
no point yeah out. Yeah yeah he just he noticed never, it was the number was 2040 and he thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, he I wish Crow would get more into resets, history and resets. He's done enough law stuff for a while. He needs to expand more. That's just my two cents. But though, which president was it that did
we'll get Karen and we'll get Grounded Extracts to recommend you to be on his show.
If he won't have Jason on, he's not going to care about little old me. I think it was Harry S. Truman that made
I know the
Proclamation 2040. So back in, I had my notes, but oh, here it is. Harry S. Truman made a national emergency on March 6, 1933 that put the states in a perpetual state of war ever since. And that's it. We're in a perpetual state of war. It's not real war. It's just a proclaimed war. So Crow often says, okay, well, if a president was actually legit at any point, they could go back and undo that proclamation. The proclamation is called Proclamation 2040. Well, proclamation means to exclaim. Right. It means to promote, proclaiming a condition, proclaiming something. Well, what are you proclaiming? I'm proclaiming 2040. So the proclaim is the number 2040. Well, why would you be, why would that, why? Always in a national emergency. So they got to keep a war perpetually going all the way up to that year so that they can prepare themselves. This is me hypotheticalizing, right? Whatever it is. They're just making a hear ye notice to anyone that has eyes to see and ears to hear that 2040 is the official date, because like as Jason had said, they thought 1902 was the actual big date. And when they found out it wasn't, they popped out in 1903, flooded the earth with money, flooded the earth with patents, created companies after companies, and just made a big run at the bank. And that's what they're doing. So now they got a proclamation for 2040. Just like anyone that wants to survive, it's all hands on deck, like prepare, kill, spread fear, create war, stock up, you know, depop, so far, get ready. So when one looks at the last 2 years with this COVID stuff, that was the last national emergency that Trump did on March 11th, which it just rides in the coattails of that same proclamation 2040. So they're going to keep perpetuating that going forward. That's why Crow's like, why can't they just shut it down? Why can't they shut it down or undo it? Well, they can't. They have to keep it's public notice.
Yeah.
So anyhow, 2040, I thought that was very interesting and
quite.
Yeah.
So I thought of a question. I mean, not exactly related to what you just talked about, but back to what you were talking about with 1860, the Carrington event, and then 1902 reset when they emerged, right? When Jason of Archaics talks about this 1902 reset, sorry, my speaker's acting up. He calls it 1902, but you know, you said 1860 something started. So between 1860 and 1902, did some things happen? What happened? And when is the official date? Is it when it's like over and then they emerge? Is that what the 1902 date is? When did it start? Like,
I think the Carrington event, I'm still looking into his research to see where he talks about the Carrington event specifically and how it falls into his Chromacon timetables, because he's not saying that that's not part of any Phoenix event. That was just an event. Well, it seemed like a pretty big event to me, and I want to know more about it and how it fits in.
I think he mentioned it in his most recent video. Have you seen the most recent one?
The one that's kind of got the spiral in the first 2 minutes, just kind of spiraling. I started playing something. Sorry.
He did a live chat like less than a week ago.
Superconstructors. That's the one I'm in the middle of.
What day was it released?
I know that he does mention, as far as the Carrington event, he takes 1902 as a kind of a middle date, and he goes 42 years in the past, which would be 1860, and that is the Carrington event, and then he goes 42 years in the future, and it's 1944, and that's when the atomic bomb was detonated.
Yeah. And he's going to expand more on that too, how it does a ripple effect. So whenever the actual event happens, in this case 1902, you can go 1 year before, 1 year after, and it's gonna be the exact same events, 2 years before and 2 years after, the exact same event, because time's not linear, it moves in both directions. And then the Carrington event, this is where it came in, it's another event that happened in there, so it's going to create another ripple going this way. Well, that glare is really not helping me. So if you have one ripple going outwards and then you put another drop over here, it's going to have its drop going outwards, right? So this is going to go out this way. When the middle, they're going to be kind of going overlapping. So that's another set of different types of events that can happen. So between 1860 and 1902, when those two drops hit and they kind of go backwards in time and start to muddle up here, well, what happened during that time period? Gee, I don't know. There was Civil War, the United States, the Washington of DC was created, like tons of stuff that was happening between that year, which is ridiculous. But his one video that he talks about, what Brandon just said, he wants to elaborate on, to go into really deeper detail on each year before and after, to kind of show some things, which I think is pretty neat. That's intense. That's intense studying to be able to track things like that.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us to reiterate just for our listeners that we still believe about the whole no fear thing. You know, it's
we're not being victim-y here.
Even the Phoenix event, it was meant for the people who were not living the way they should, the people who are trying to take control, all those people, those are the ones who should fear. And it looks like they're trying to put everybody in fear of this. Probably that's why they're doing it in the media and in the movies. Subconsciously, they're making everybody fear the end of the world because if they can get everybody to vibrate at the level of fear, then this Phoenix event, however it happens, it's not going to know who to target. And then maybe they'll be able to hide better underground or however it works. So I feel, again, it's really about having no fear, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a genius concept, whoever put that forward.
Yes.
That's to spread out the destruction of the plasma tentacles. That's
spread the fear.
That's mind blowing.
Right. Wow. So I just went to Archaic's channel. I guess it looks like that video I was talking about is called Super Constructions Hidden in Our Skies. And
that's the one I'm in the middle of.
Okay, I think he talks about the Carrington event in that one, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure he does. But I didn't realize he posted two others since then. So one 2 days ago and one day ago. And it looks like Brandon's been watching them.
Yes, he has. One of them is just a short 30-second thing about his motorcycle, which I love because he's kind of showing how he's still enjoying life and he's just out riding his motorcycle. And the other one is an audio. It's one of his books that he's just reading. And it's really interesting. It has a lot to do with the pyramids and their how they've been referenced before as pillars. And it talks a lot about Enoch and stuff. So, yeah, I definitely recommend checking that out. It's a really good one. Wow. I haven't finished it yet.
Enochian Secrets, audio reading of lost scriptures. Dude, I totally I want to download that and put it in my audiobook thing.
Yeah, you should. It's a good one.
Yeah. So I had a question for Adam regarding the Squatter Man, because I mean, I've seen it, but I don't know exactly what it's supposed to look like in the sky. So if I'm looking, because I see what you're talking about, you say there's a thing here and then there's like a little thing like that and then a little thing like this. But how does it look in this? Am I looking up at the sky and then it looks like that in the sky? And if you're looking for a picture to screenshot, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I still have share control. Yeah, I do.
I think so.
Yep.
So what's interesting about the Squatter Man is, and this, the Squatter Man actually, there's actually a video of it. I think I actually posted it in my own channel. The Squatter Man proves, quote unquote, flat Earth, because everybody across all parts of the plane and all different continents drew the Squatter Man right side up. Well, if they were on South Africa or some of the lower, quote unquote, southern hemispheres, they would have drawn it upside down.
Maybe. Could it be? So,
right. But they're all. Does my mouse show too?
Yep.
OK, so they all drew it, you know, the one arm, the arms up and the big head and then the small little testicle ball down here. So the reason why it's done like this is because there's another guy who shows how magnetism works with bowls. So he's got two magnets. One's a blue magnet that's curved down, and one's a red magnet kind of curves up. And then he plays with the magnets and shows you the vortexes of how the magnets and dielectricity, electricity, magnetism all work together. Well, that's what this is here. So when you put all that stuff under certain, microscopes isn't the right word. I'm not conditions. A big science guy. So yeah, certain, viewing it a certain way, other camera lighting or in vacuums, it's in a vacuum. You put it in a vacuum, you expose it to electricity in there, and then you'll get this effect. Those two bowls will actually create the Squatter Man. So you got to ask yourself, okay, well, what are the two objects in the sky that are creating that? Because obviously, if, you know, as above, so below, and if he's using two solid bowl objects to create that, then what two solid bowl objects or even balls, I don't know, are in the sky that could do that? I don't know, sun to moon. So I would think that it would look something. I mean, that's just one. I mean, here's a bunch of other pictures that you can see what the Squatter Man looks like. But yeah, this is what everybody drew this picture right side up. And then some people kind of got more elaborate and start drawing a crown on the squatter man. That would be the corona. And that corona then turned into the story of Medusa, which then turned into a wheel of fire behind them, which then turned into Shiva. I mean, on and on and on. And then you kind of get into things like sparks, what do you call them? Sprites in the sky, right? So, you know, is it going to be a big version of a sprite that kind of looks like a squatter man? I don't know. Something like that. Aurea Borealis type style, green aura. Yeah, I just look up and waiting for something every day. Stop sharing.
I thought you said stop sharing.
Stop over sharing.
Never stop over sharing.
So
you just have to wait till next week. That's all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for letting me rant. Like I don't have anything like solid to be like, oh man, groundbreaking, this, that, and the other. No, there's just a lot of good stuff here that I
love it.
Keeps my mind occupied, keeps me, you know, me getting out of the beast system. You know, I made some big 6-digit money as a software engineer in the city. I gave all that up to now be like, I made $100 this week selling two rabbits. Yay. Like that's my life. And I'm like, this is the best life. I love it. So in my spare time, I like to actually entertain my brain in my own types of sci-fi by studying these types of things as far as sovereignty, as far as the biggest extremes of things, of who you are, you know, your whole body, your placenta, your chakras, your higher self, the law of one, the 5D self, like studying that whole aspect, then looking at the Bible and Jesus's works and saying, the dude's Buddhist. He's teaching the exact same stuff. How come no one's talking about this? This is why, like what Owen says, is the Christians hate me because I follow Jesus too much. It's a great line. It's so good and so accurate. And then I like to study science fiction, which is now more science than science. Science is just a religious joke at this point. Anyone trusting any aspect of it, there's a problem. There's a mental problem. So I like to study this, you know, this fringe type science. And by doing that, now I actually start going back. I grew up watching Star Trek and all the science fiction stuff. So now I'm actually going back in the biggest sci-fi push right now. You got like 4 different versions of Star Trek that are mainstream, like Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek, the cartoon series, Star Trek Picard, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And I'm eating them all up, not from like a, ooh, I want to go to outer space and go to the moon, play golf on the moon. No, it's like, I'm studying this to see all the astrological things and all these things they're putting in there that I'm like, they know, those sons of guns, they know.
Yeah.
They even did a whole Picard time travel where the plasma event actually happened in the first scene of the new series of Picard season 2. Happened, this green tentacle spider thing comes out of the sky and just ripples apart, and these Borg creatures come out and they destroy all of civilization. Well, then a god, and he said, you got to go back to a specific year to prevent a specific event from ever happening. They go back to the year 2024, April, 1 week after the event that I'm telling you is something's to it, the eclipse event. Why did Star Trek make a whole series to go back to 2024, April, the post-eclipse, to reset an event from happening so that they don't get destroyed by the plasma event? Are you kidding me? This is what's mainstream. People are just like, oh man, did you see that episode where this blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's in everything. And so I get a kick out of watching this stuff now. I'm like, there's another. That's just another checkbox affirmation of something. I mean, I don't know, but they know something.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny too. They're really ostracizing their fans too, from what I've heard, because I heard they're making it all woke and stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are really upset about it, but it's still being made. So it just kind of goes to show you that it doesn't really, they're not really trying to entertain people. They're just trying to put this message out for people.
It's full disclosure. That's all this is.
It's not about, you know, like Owen showed this today. I was watching, he showed a video of the Daily Show in South Africa. It only had like, I don't know, 500 views. And then he showed a picture of one of his episodes on BitChute from the same day, and it had like several thousand views. And he's like, they put $200 million worth of, like, you know, promotion and stuff into it. And he's like, I'm banned and I'm still beating them, you know? So it's like, if they don't, like CNN, nobody watches it anymore. They're just putting it out there. Like you said earlier, it's just a disclosure. It's a public disclosure. They're making a proclamation.
Yeah, it's not really, it's not even about money. It's not about any of that stuff. It's just numbers. They just print more money. And they don't even print anymore. They just say it exists. So it's added. It's something else.
Yeah, it really is. Hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
So, Adam, maybe just to close on this topic, have you looked into, I think you've looked into A Course in Miracles.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you were the one who were telling me. I think you asked me if I'd started watching Aaron Abke's playlist on A Course in Miracles. And so I started watching it, and I'm like, now I'm pretty deep into the playlist. And I'm loving it. I'm just like, I get why Aaron loves it and why he thinks it's like the best thing. I haven't even read it yet, but I want to do a summary of what it kind of entails before I dive in to the publishing of the channel. I kind of want to reconcile, because earlier you were talking about ownership and like how I, you know, as a baby, that placenta is mine and blah, blah, blah. Right. With A Course in Miracles, because in A Course in Miracles, when we see ourselves as separate and distinct, we are living in our egos versus living as
one
pure consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess I just want to, I don't know, reconcile that, because see, as we
talk, it's another bad habit,
right? As we learn about this Course in Miracles type stuff and just really opens my eyes to how we are just all one, right? That's what gives me a difficult time with the whole sovereignty thing. Because then I'm just like, am I supposed to be like doing this stuff? Like, do I don't know. It's just,
yeah. So it's interesting. A couple of things, like to have, to hold, to like own something. Like when you and I were studying Hebrew together using that one Duolingo app, there's no word for have. They don't have a word for like possession, to hold something,
right?
Even in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, they never had possessed things. They didn't have things because everything was temporal. So that mindset was, you know, all is one type of a mindset. Now I probably said the word I 2,000 times in this call, but that's something that me is working on, to not say I, right? Because of the ego. And
I mean, we have to live in this world, and because, you know,
it's a whole,
we're not of it, but we have to live in it. So that's just how we distinguish ourselves in our separate.
I'm trying to find other words to be using to replace
separateness or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
The instrument.
The instrument that is speaking to you right now is coming from a fifth dimensional being. That is right. But that goes into, this manifestation of this three-dimensional entity being right now is just another straw man. If I call myself I, if I say I, me, I want, I need, I, me, this body, this guy, I need sleep. That's me. That's the ego. That's everything I just said is all ego. And now, if I say, oh, bless you guys, you guys are wonderful, great, you know, go out, you know, be somebody. I encourage you to go do these things, X, Y, and Z. That's not me. That's coming up, coming down, going out. So, you know, the birth certificate, if that's the two-dimensional straw man, then the three-dimensional straw man is accepting me being Adam, me being this body, because this is just a temporal, I don't have it. I don't own this. When my breath leaves and this body falls to the ground, I can't take this with me, because this is here to go back to the dust. The real me is up there in the fourth or fifth or whatever dimensions. But then, okay, well, if I go to being a 4D or 5D or 6D, is that still me? Right? Because that's still another straw man until you become the full creator himself, itself, themselves. So that's just another layer of a straw man, the ego. And that's what I think is interesting. When Jesus went into the desert for 40 days, One of the guys on Santos Bonacci's channel that had Archaics on was talking about how when you fast, you're actually depriving the microchloriasms or whatever they are in your body from eating, ingesting, and you're depriving them of those things. And so you're going to get more attuned to seeing elves or trolls on the ground or, you know, whatever you're going to be seeing. Your eyes are going to start shifting because you're not relying on these types of foods. Well, Jesus was tempted 3 times by Ha-Satan, but the things that he was tempted on were all physical things. So the Satan is the ego. The ego is the me. The ego is my. There is no real, I don't think there's a real Satan.
I concur.
If you look at all of the Bible, first of all, the word sin is nothing more than debt, right? Debt. I could say something else. I'm up for this channel. But and then Satan is nothing more than the ego. So if you look at this content of what's happening in any situation where a devil or a Satan is in there, look at it being the context of an ego, even like with Job, right? Job was, I have everything. I have everything. I have everything. Okay. Well, that's the ego talking. That's Satan talking. That's your ego. So let's start removing stuff. Is it still you being you, or is it your ego? Where's that line, Job? Where you want to test, you know, what you have, then let's remove your ego and see where we're at. You can do that with all of Christ's works. Even when he called Peter, get behind me, Satan, he wasn't calling him Satan. He was calling the temptation that Peter had brought forth to him, saying that you don't have to go to the cross. Now that's a temptation to his own ego, putting on his ego, this is just me. I am me. If I don't go to the cross, then I accept this straw man to be who I am. So that's why I said, get behind me, ego, because I'm not this straw man.
Oops. I'm something else higher. Yeah.
He was talking to the ego, not Peter, not a physical or manifestational Satan. He was talking to, get out of my head, that thought. I hold you no longer.
Yeah.
That's the ego.
And in Hebrew, all Satan, Ha-Satan means is the adversary. That's all it means. And what is, and what, like I used to hear it
my saying, biggest adversary is my ego.
Myself. Like I used to hear it in church all the time. Who's your worst enemy? Yourself. Who's always throwing you under the
bus? But that's confusing, yourself. Right? That's saying yourself isn't really addressing the true issue, because now you're bundling the ego and your higher self into one thing and calling it one package deal.
Exactly. Aaron Abke goes into, oh my gosh, this, I'm going to see if I can find the, I think it's the episode that's called Karma and Projection.
I'm only like 7 or 8 I just finished episode 10.
Okay. It's in the Course in Miracles playlist, and the way he talks about stuff and how, oh my gosh, it's so good. The breakdown's really good. So I highly recommend it. I can't even put it into words.
Like, I played for Kate one. It was the heaven and hell, breaking the heaven and hell mindset.
Oh my gosh.
Kate's still like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to help. Like, yeah, the way he does things is just phenomenal.
The forgiveness one was like.
And I got some people in my own local patriot movement that really rubbed me the wrong way. And since the Law of One, I'm kind of like, okay, they're just another version of me living out the decisions that they think is the best version of them. Yes. I still want to punch them in the face because that's what this version of me wants to do. So it, at least having that thought in there before I speak, even if I still say the same thing I would have said, it's something. So
it's definitely
a game changer.
And what you just said, that just watch Karma and Projection in that playlist.
Well, I think that's what we're here to do 15. Is that work. So as long as you're doing that work, you know, just be easier on yourself is what I could say, you know.
Yes.
We all do it.
Absolutely. And what he's, okay, so what he, if I'm trying to remember what he said is, and it reminded me of what Paul says, it's like, it's no longer me doing it, but it is the body. Because he's basically saying, ask yourself, Would you do anything to cause yourself suffering? Would you? Like, are you intentionally doing something to cause yourself suffering?
Right.
No. You're not. You don't intentionally cause yourself to suffer. So there's something else, the ego, that is doing that, right? So basically, that's why he says that the A Course in Miracles says that the Son of God is innocent, because we're not intentionally trying to bring harm to ourselves or to others necessarily, right? So that's why we can see other people as innocent, because if we're not, then they're not either. It's like you just said, they're.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I forgot that mindset. Yes.
Right.
I got to rewatch that. That was that good.
Oh my gosh.
Right. There's no victim. There's no, you can't forgive, because if you forgive, then you're acknowledging that they're the victim. And so you right. just have to like move yes. through it. It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yes, and so there's nothing to forgive. That's right. That's what the Course in Miracles is basically saying. There's nothing to forgive.
Right. Insert Jesus on the cross. Now what's that change?
Oh my God, that forgiveness video. Like I could literally watch it 100 times.
I'm gonna rewatch it, because you saying that, I forgot about that mindset. It's so good.
Yes, it's so good.
And for those listening, it is the Course in Miracles on Aaron Apke. He has a channel. There's 29 videos. And it is episode,
I think it's the fourth in the list. There's only one love.
Yes. Why forgiveness is, yeah, there's only love, episode 4.
You know, that kind of reminds me of what Fortune de Saint-Germain said on Crow, that we're here to learn lessons, and we can learn them through suffering or through joy.
Exactly.
It kind of pulls that all together, because as we're here and we're learning, we're going to learn it no matter what. That's what we're here to do. So it's our choice whether we want to suffer or whether we want to just laugh at it, basically.
Right.
Because it kind of is a cosmic joke, I really feel. I think that's why comedy is so important. I really think that. I always tell people, I'm like, I think Jesus was a comedian. I'm like, I think they left all that out. You know? I think he was telling a lot more jokes and they just kind of cut that out, you know?
Cut the punchlines. Like, what do you mean by this? A parable. He started telling a parable story with no, what do you mean about the fig tree? What are you talking about? Like, oh, we just cut that part out.
What's the deal with airplane food? So, Jesus, airplanes haven't been invented yet. Jesus. What's the deal? But yeah, for sure.
But that's how we can have compassion on others, right? Because we can see that they're not aware. Like even Aaron Apke was saying, it's like he talks about this thing about sanity and insanity. Like you're like, if they're doing something, it's because they're unaware, like they're unaware of it. So we'll, I forgot how he says it, but it's something about like, why would somebody do that if, unless they're like a sane person would not do that. So they're acting in insanity. And would you ever blame someone for acting in insanity? No, you wouldn't.
That's why people in court try to get out by claiming insanity.
Exactly. Because you can't blame a person who's insane. So all you can do is have compassion over them.
Like a child.
Yes. Oh my God. It's just like there's so many things he said in this Course in Miracles. It's like blowing my mind.
Yeah, I want to finish watching all of these maybe a couple times before I read the book or do the series. Right. Just like with the Law of One, I almost said Ra of One. I was hoping, I was going to see. It. I know you're probably sitting there the whole time, like, is he going to say it? Is he going to say it?
The Ra of One.
I want some fly rice with the Ra of One. I want to finish the whole Law of One series twice and then read this. I have the 5 books. I had a buddy that read the 5 books and it took him weeks and weeks and weeks. And he reads really quick, like really quick. But he's like, the wording is just so, like when Rob was channeled, the words that he used were he very big words and intentional words to fit what he thought would be best to illustrate his points at that given time for that language.
Right.
Well, so if you're reading that book and you just got out of Babylon, like, what is this?
No context.
And he's just sitting there having to reread and reread. But with Aaron, then he read them all. He finally read them all. Then I gave him Aaron. He's like, why didn't you give me this like months ago? Like, this is all sinking in now. So now he's going to go back and reread it. So hearing that feedback gave me, all right, now I'm going to finish this up before I go read the books, because I guess it's pretty intense. And I actually started to watch some of the videos of the actual, the audio of the actual channeling. One of the projects that Aaron had on as guests, there's three people and they do channel work collectively. And they got the original audio tape and got the original audio and subtitled the whole thing so that anybody can go and just watch the raw stuff. The raw stuff. That's pretty funny.
It's raw.
It's raw. Yeah.
Wait, Brandon, you can say it differently. It's raw material is raw. Say it.
Raw and raw.
See?
It's raw, son. It's raw.
All raw.
I say them the same, I think.
Raw.
But just as you're looking something up, just shout out to, shout out to my friend Christian, who is Shoegaze Bear on Beartaria Times, because he's the one who sent me the first ever Aaron Abke video. And ever since then, I've been hooked. So thank you, Christian.
Shout out to our chat, too. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. And
yeah, some really good comments going on right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And speaking of comments, that's the best way to support us. If you'd like to support us, you can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the oversharing tab, or if you really want to support us, just leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about this. If you have any questions, any complaints, comments, let us know. And you could join us every Thursday night in the live chat. That's really our favorite thing, and just hang out with us. We just have a nice good old time listening to ourselves again, which is the favorite part of our week. So come hang out and overshare with us.
Yeah. And like I said before, sometimes I'm listening to either the guest or Brandon for the first time, because sometimes while I'm listening live, I'm distracted. So sometimes I don't hear the whole story.
Yeah. Sometimes I throw in little like comments too, that are like later you hear them and you're like, oh
yeah. Exactly. I don't even notice the one.
I have no idea what I said at all. I just rambled the whole time. So I'll be curious.
It was awesome. Hope you can join us.
Here, I'm going to share this real quick, just in case anybody's interested in that raw material stuff. Aaron Abke highly recommended LL Research. And it's these three guys right here. They were on one or two of his shows. And if you watch the Law of One channel of his, he has them on as guests. These three guys do a lot of other channeling and do some recording. They're super cool. They're on the same par as Adam or Aaron, in my opinion. Well, in the videos, they have all of the 95 original audio recordings of the Law of One by Bra. It's pretty cool to hear her speaking, because it's one thing to see the words and have somebody kind of read it. And just like, today's story is about, constantly speaking. However, that's not how it happened. Like, in her being channeled, it's like the star is shining today. Like, it's very like, it's very interesting, to the point where the next word is like, she doesn't know what the next word is going to be. The next word, like this huge long word, and she's still going. Like, that's not her speaking. Like, it's very obvious to hear that and like kind of give more credibility to like what's really going on.
Yeah.
These guys also talk about this guy right here in the middle.
Jim McCarty.
He talks about, I heard Brandon talk about another show about channeling, how you got to be really careful because you could bring in something that you're not meaning to bring in. And this Jim guy talks about it. And when they do a channeling session, he's like, all right, now the negative entities, negative polarities, when you open yourself up and you're trying to get a good channel or a good entity, the negatives have the right to come forward and speak some sort of truth. They're allowed to, but then they'll start manipulating it. So who do you want to take with you? And he's like, the one lady that they use quite a bit, she takes with her Jesus Christ as her foundation. So she calls upon that four-dimensional guy, Jesus. And so whenever a negative entity, she feels something, she'll stop and she'll do like, in the name of Jesus Christ, something, yada, yada, yada. And those guys leave and then she can continue with the channeling. So it's almost like an anchor point, which I thought was very interesting because I still don't know the whole reason why there's power in certain names like that. Because when I had sleep paralysis, that's the only way I could break it. I could feel something over top of me. I could feel a negative presence. And when I started breaking out of that sleep paralysis and I had a moment like, in the name of Jesus Christ, go away. Pfft, gone. Like I could just instantly feel it. The room's gone. I wake up every time until they stop leaving me alone. To this day, I still like, how does that work and why? And then listening to Jim, I'm like, oh, that makes sense, because they chose a higher being that's solid, that's transcended from here. And they've used that energy as their anchor point, as their light. And so when a negative entity starts coming in, because their negative energy is going to be lower, and you're saying, oh, nope, I'm busy in this name, gone. That's fascinating. Really cool.
Yeah. I did watch the first video in that channel that you just showed, LL Research. And I wanted to keep watching more, but I just, you know, there's so many videos that pile up on my queue, but yeah, I do want to check that. I definitely do want to check that out. But to what you were saying about like the entity that you call on, yeah, it explains a lot. And I've mentioned it in a previous episode, but my late husband, Wesley, woke us up one middle of the night. And he told me he was seeing this like red demon next to the bed on his side of the bed. And I woke up and I turned the lights on and I told him to rebuke him in the name of Jesus, because I mean, that's what I'd been taught. And I had never experienced anything like that myself. And I couldn't see anything, but he could see the entity. So he did that and then he went away and he never, like this entity never came back, never. So it works.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I think we are past the 2-hour mark and I think we just had such a great time. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thanks for letting me come on and just kind of shoot the breeze with you guys. It's always good seeing my two friends on here.
Yeah,
I love what you guys are doing. It's so great.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I love what you're doing. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good to have people like you to have on the show that have this, you know, because you're out there putting your own things together. You look at everyone else. You're like us. You're like an aggregator of information. You take different things and you just put them together and see what makes sense. And that's what we really like to do on this show. So you just make our show better. So thank you for oversharing with us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I already mentioned how you could support us, but I'll say it again. Go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the oversharing tab, or just leave comments, or just come to the live chat, because that's what we like. So thank you, guys. Big shout out again to the live chat. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Thanks for making it all the way to the end. We appreciate it. And what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
So keep oversharing. Bye, guys.
Share on.